Greetings.
Hi, how are you?
I'm listening.
Great to meet you.
Ah, I've been expecting you.
For the good
of all. You come get the voodoo.
Hey, Darren.
And you are...
Light be with you.
Hey, great to meet
you. You come to consult the spirits?
Welcome to Orgrimmar. Have you come to serve the Horde?
Good morning, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Monday, July 28th, 2008. This is episode 73, entitled No Maintenance Tuesday is Good for Me. And I'm Aprilian, your host, and with me is my co-host, Asheo. Good morning, Asheo.
Morning, Aprilian. Morning, everybody.
Last week there was no. Last Tuesday there was no maintenance. It was very nice, don't you think?
It was. They did do a restart, but
that was on Monday, though, wasn't it?
They did both.
Oh,
there was a restart on both.
Oh, because I wasn't up early enough to notice the restart on Tuesday, but that was good. It was a nice treat. It's funny how we've gotten used to not having Tuesdays.
So, yes.
Yeah. And it's really rough for me because Tuesdays is actually my Monday. Because I have Sunday,
Mondays.
Because
of your work week.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
there were actually some problems. I forget what night it was now. I think it was actually Tuesday. It was. So before the shutdown, we're in about 3 hours. Before the intended shutdown, there was the servers just went, I don't know, failed for lack of a better word. You know, it's like, you know how sometimes you get the loot lag,
right?
And it you know, you can't loot anything for a minute or so. This went on for more than half an hour or more.
Oh, you're kidding?
No, it was pretty bad. It was actually we're doing RFK and.
Oh.
We just got up to where all the bats are, you know, the big boar.
Mm-hmm.
You kill the boar and then you go around the corner and there's all the bats.
Right.
Every now and again, fairly rarely, there's a rare spawn bat that spawns.
Right.
And he drops a nice blue neck piece.
Okay.
And it spawned and we rounded up all the bats and killed them all and we decided that Tark was in there on his priest and that he should get it. So he rolled Need and went to loot it.
And the lag.
And we waited and we waited and we waited. Ended up he had to log. And I came back like I disconnected a few times and logged back in. And the bat was still there and the neck piece was still on it. And I couldn't loot it. So it was pretty disappointing. So
did
there was some downtime for us. But,
did you file a ticket?
I didn't bother.
Oh. That's a bummer. I love that area, though. Isn't that the area they just fixed, though, because there was a quest there that was too low or something about it was being...
The tubers?
No. Yeah, I know they fixed the tubers, but I thought something about the bat... Where by the time you were high enough to get into the instance,
the bat poo.
Yeah, bat poo.
Speaking the very first of the bat poo sequences.
Yeah.
The poo quest,
yeah. In fact, speaking of which, Aprilian and Realfire and Aunt Rilia finally did that poo quest in Outland, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, but we're getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah, well, we are.
So, well, why don't I get to what I've been doing this week?
Okay.
All right. Because I think the last few weeks you've started, if you don't mind. I'm sorry?
I thought it was just a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
And I always roll low, so.
I've had a wonderful, very productive week. And I think the key thing about World of Warcraft is the release of endorphins.
the short-term goal achievements.
Right. And it's amazing because if you get on a roll with it, it's like, oh, wow, this is great.
Life is grand.
Life is grand. So the first thing I did was, it was almost time for Aprilian's cool down on Primal and Shadow Mooncloth. So she went and unlearned Primal Mooncloth because, you know, she's going to be wanting to do her Shadow Weave. And I figured now would be the best time. And so she unlearned Primal Mooncloth for 50G. And then she learned Shadow Weave for 20G. And now that she's knows that she can fly into that flight path.
The Scryer flight path. It's not the Alliance place.
Not the Aldor place.
Yeah,
because that was I was on the Aldor side, and it's really becoming hard for me to remember. I wonder if there's a mod that could tell you which side you're on, because just last week, Aunt Relia went to go to the bank, and she accidentally went to the wrong bank, and she couldn't open.
At least the bankers don't attack you.
Yeah, that's a good thing, but you think there's a bug, because I'm trying to open the bank, and, well, actually, I couldn't open. I didn't go to the banker. I went to open the vault.
Right.
And it wouldn't open. So now what I have to do is, when I get to Shat, I have to open up my rep. just to remember who I am. I thought I had a good mnemonic, you know. Aldor. I know the one that Aurelia's on was jewelry, and I somehow tried to figure out a way to associate Aldor with jewelry because I know that her and Trishel are on that side. And I tried to say Scryer has something to do with Blood Elves because they cry, but it still didn't work. Scry. So, anyways. Aprilian also picked up 5 Shadow Weave recipes, so that was cool. And she sent her last Primal Moon cloth bag over to Primal, and we were able to sell that. So now I have over 2K in gold.
Splendid.
Yeah, and part of that, though, I'm starting to feel guilty, because part of it's from selling Grom's blood. It's crazy, because I'm picking it up in that cave in Winterspring for 10 cents a piece.
Shh.
I know, and they're selling for over a gold a piece. So it's really great. The felt cloth is doing okay, too. I'm just surprised that it didn't sell as well, because if you are if you're leveling up tailoring and you get the moon cloth, you get trained to make moon cloth, you know, now there's no cooldown on it, so you can use that quickly. Remember before you had to wait 3 days to make moon cloth? Now it's like bam.
Yeah, but I wonder how many. I mean, it's only for people that are leveling tailoring, and only for people that are in that range.
Right.
And I wonder how many points you actually get
before you move out.
You know, before you start getting into green for the moon cloth stuff. And whether, you know, the fel cloth is overpriced for, you know, being able to get skill points cheaper through, you know, rune cloth or even you know, some other sort of cloth. So I haven't actually looked at, you know, people probably just, you know, following leveling guides and fel cloth isn't going to be in it.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. So I made some macro buttons to go with my toolbox. Toolbox. I really am loving Toolbox. I'm loving it for so many reasons, and of course, the biggest one is the following. I'm finally figured out how to make it.
Figured it out. Yeah,
how to make it sticky file. The only thing that's kind of frustrating is that it doesn't. You can't set it for each character. It's by account. So a few times I've had to either just turn it off because it's kept telling me that there was a character that wasn't on, you know, when I'm just...
Yeah, tries to relay the chats.
Yeah. But for, like, the food and the messaging, the whispering and stuff, it's great. And
yep.
So...
That's just the first thing I do when I log on. You just set the new master for that character.
Well, what I'm doing now is I just... I used to have a button for following.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I traded that out and made it the one to set the master. So that works out pretty well.
Right.
And I'm really trying, I really want to get into macroing some more. There's so much you can do with them that we, you know, don't even take the time to do.
Oh, it's massive.
Yeah, and if you're out there door boxing and you use a specific macro, please send us a copy of it at controlaltwow@gmail.com.
So
it would be great.
So what macro did you set up for?
Well, I just set up
toolkit.
Just TB Space Master.
Oh, okay.
And then on the main one, there's a, you know, I target the person and I just have follow me, which sometimes can be very annoying. I will lead.
Follow me.
And, you know, it's funny because it's on Aprilian. She's, well, I have a big monitor in the middle of the desk. It's an HD TV, and I use it as a second monitor. So that's where the lead person goes, because that's the most real estate.
Yeah.
And it's usually a brilliant, and, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but blood elves can be very sanctimonious in there.
Yep.
It works out well. And the sticky is great, you know. But I did find one problem. If I have a hunter feigning death.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What does it do then?
And the battle's over, and I'm not, or the person that the hunter was battling is dead.
Yep.
Then the hunter gets up and follows, even though the battle is still going on.
Well, that's because the hunter's out of combat.
Right. Even though there's combat, and I have him feigning death because her life is running out, her health is running out.
Oh, okay.
So,
right.
And then now she's back in the mix of things and probably going to get killed. But it's a small price to pay.
That should actually be something that you could probably write in and toggle.
Right.
To not get up. I might have a look at that.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can actually modify the mod or suggest to the author that that's probably a good change, actually. If you're feigning death, then you're if you're feigning death, then don't sticky follow.
Right. Okay, so then I spent Thursday morning getting pets over to the Alliance. They're selling like hotcakes, and I think, you know, again, I think I mentioned this before, it's probably because you know, the few people that were trying to be my competition just doesn't have the patience. It does take, you know, a good 40 minutes out of the day gathering up all the pets, getting over there, putting it on the auction house. But gosh, it's like every time I log on, I've got like 15 gold, you know, and it adds up. Through the course of the week, I must be making at least 100 to 150 gold. Of course, it just doesn't sit there. I use it to buy stuff like primals and stuff. And lately on the neutral auction house, I've had no problems. I do kind of up it a little bit. I don't do the lowest, like silver. I make sure that when I'm selling a primal, it's at least for a couple of gold. And I guess, you know, maybe after a while of selling it low, maybe it tricks, what is that, bottom scanner, into thinking that it's not a good price.
Yeah, maybe. I would just think that people just don't happen to be running bottom scanner when you're doing it.
Yeah, just the luck of it.
I mean, you can do it pretty quick.
Right.
With two accounts. You know, if I'm going to put something up, I kind of get ready to post it, and then on the one where I want to buy it out on, I do a search so that, you know, the search is actually there and it comes up and says nothing found, and then you toggle back and go, okay, now post the auction. And then immediately flick back and search again, and it finds it, and you buy it, and it's only in auction for like 2 seconds.
I was doing that, and that Taki,
and you still got
that Taki chick, yeah, that Taka whatever, yeah, okay. She's still, but I suppose she's probably out in summer school, because she spent all her school year stalking the auction house when she should have been doing her homework.
That'll learn you, pesky kids.
And so that's been good, and I've been I've been loving it because I've been able to get some things on the auction house on the Alliance side much cheaper. And actually, there was a few things. Oh, I know. I was looking for the mining enchants for Aprillion, and there were none on the Horde auction house. And there was a bunch on the Alliance, so I was able to get that. And I'm having fun with the Authenticator.
You've done all three now?
Yeah, I've done all three. And I found out that if I log into everybody at the same time and then have the screen up that asks me for my Authenticator number, I can then press the Authenticator button and use the same number for all three. And I have found myself, like, staying on more. You know, sometimes I wouldn't pay any attention to logging off. But now I'm, you know, making sure that I'm not...
Just so you don't have to enter it in again.
Right, exactly. I wanted to talk about a tip that somebody gave on the Guild Forum about, you know, if you don't have the Authenticator, or even if you do, somebody was hacked and they didn't have an Authenticator. And the suggestion was to... I'm trying to find out who suggested it. Oh, Kemp wrote, turn on the parental controls and set them to lock you out when you know you won't be on. It's such a simple thing, but provides yet another layer of security that a potential hacker would need to get through. So, yeah, that's a great idea. So if you know you're not going to be on at night, or if you know that while you're at work, Monday through Friday, 10 to, you know, whatever... Go ahead and set the parental controls, and in order for them to, you know, and then if you happen to play at another time, just go in and turn them off. But that means that, you know, there's another level of protection.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else? Oh, Aprillion made a Spellfire bag, 28 slot enchanter, which was great because Aunt Relia is now really getting into... enchanting. She's gotten up past 275, which, gosh, took forever.
And you end up with a bucket load of materials.
Yes. And I'm always afraid of putting something in the bank and then needing it. But I want to say, hail Arc Inventory. Because the past week, I have just... It's been invaluable, and I mean, I know we've talked about it before, and I just want to say again, it's great, because if you have a recipe for something, for anything, and you want to see, you can click on, you can hover over the ingredients, and it will tell you who has the items in their bag.
Yep.
And of course, it's only account specific, but you can, what I've been doing is I'll whisper the item to my other alts on a different account, and then they'll tell me what other people have.
Right.
And it makes life so much easier.
It does.
So she brought the Spellfire bag. She made the Spellfire bag, and of course those were heavy mats. I think she had made a few spell cloth, and then the Alliance Auction House had some for cheap, so she had been collecting some. And then she bought the 20 slot enchanter satchel for Aunt Relia's bank. So she has the 28 one in her backpack or inventory, and then she has the 20 slot in the bank, because you can only equip one on yourself.
Oh, can you? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never actually tried to have more. It's too much.
Yeah, that's what I would be.
Lose too much space.
Right, but you can put one in your bank and one on yourself. And, of course, now that the slots are only 25G after the fourth one, I think, it just doesn't make any sense not to go ahead and buy more bank slots.
Buy them all out, yep.
Yep. So, and... So now,
have you been back up to Netherstorm and made any more cloth up there?
Yep, we made one up there the other day, and I bought, and I was a little bit, you know, the last time we did it, now, for those that don't know, I think we might have talked about it the last time, when you make spell cloth, Is that with the one that you make at Netherstorm?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you go up there, you and you make the cloth, a mob is released. It looks kind of like the guy that escorts you around Shattrath, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but he's good to kill because he drops motes.
Right. And so I was the first time we did it was with you with Asheo, I think, and that you know she's level 70, so I was a little nervous about being able to kill him, but I had Aunt Rilia, who's 64, and Aprilian, who dings 63, yay!
Hey, France.
and Real Fire, who just dings 62, and it was so sad because Real Fire is still on We Live to Serve.
And we didn't get.
Yeah.
Didn't get any grants.
Right. Oh. So when she dings. So that's kind of funny. It's, you know, the nicest thing about it, one of the nicest things about AIE is that when you do ding or you get some kind of accomplishment, there is a lot of grats. And
a wall of grats.
Yes. A green wall of grats. So Saturday morning at Triple Box in Outland, and Aprilian had that one quest with those workers you have to kill, and that guy with the saw hand that creeps me out and reminds me of one of those horror movie things. And you know, it's kind of hard to do because they're all in close quarters, and then. This is, I don't know, there's probably more quests like this, but the machines actually attack you, and you kind of forget.
The cannons.
Yeah, the cannons, yeah, because you're used to, like,
It's a hard area to pick off one or two mobs.
Right.
And they walk, their patrols are fairly large as well.
So I had Aprilian and Real Fire in group, and Aurelia was just providing backup, which was really good because there were a couple of times when she was able to help. And then, because when they're all in group, it's like 300 a piece, but then with just Aprilian and Real Fire, it's a little over 400. And even though it just seems like a little bit, it makes a difference. And I kind of really don't want Aurelia getting too far ahead because I really would like them to all three be almost equal, you know, for dual boxing, for triple boxing. And then we went and we did the poo thing with the, where you have to take that guy's foulhound for a walk. And at first I wasn't getting it, but I guess you have to kill something and then the hound goes over and feeds off of it.
Yeah.
And then he poops. And then you have to...
And you get the stink debuff.
Yeah, and you get the stinky buff, which is funny. Well, one thing that was kind of funny, and when Aunt Rilia rode up to do it, because I thought she could go ahead and do it on her own. You know, this is one of those quests where you don't get in... There's no advantage to doing it all at once, because only one person can...
Everyone's got to do it. Yeah,
only one person can loot a pile of poo at one time. It's not like so she went over and there was like the shiny thing going on underneath a dead fellhound, and I guess somebody must have been doing it, and I don't know how could their fellhound have gotten killed, because you would think I don't know, because the fellhound doesn't even get into play, but she went over and there was a pile of poo just sitting there, and she hadn't even, and she was able to loot the poo and get the key and not even do anything. So that was kind of neat. So if you're out there and you see some random poo, I wonder if you could steal an alliance poo. That would be
That's
really
a great conversation. If you're out there and you see some random poo.
Go ahead and loot it. You never know.
Go digging through it.
Yeah. And of course, I don't know if this was just the last patch or if it's just my imagination, but I think sparkles have been even more enhanced.
You reckon they sparkle even more?
Yeah, because I was, I started, you know, an alt on my fourth account. And I was out in the starting area for the orcs and trolls, and I had just taken the apple thing where you have to go collect those apples. And I'm walking past one of the bushes, and it was like screaming at me. Hello? pick me, I'm here.
Sparkly, sparkly.
Yeah, so, and then I started noticing that some plants were more sparkly. So if you think I'm just hallucinating, you can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com and tell us, have you noticed more sparkle? But, you know, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, the easy button times two. I guess everything right now is probably getting in preparation for the next expansion. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about. When I was the pet selling, did you hear about the new thing that's going on with
chimes
pets?
That are gonna, yeah.
So instead of having to put your pet in a instead of having to keep your pet in inventory and taking up a space either in your bank or on yourself, you're gonna be able to. It's gonna be like a spell, and you can just click on the, like, it's gonna be in your book. Probably a page in your spell book. What'd you think?
Sorry, I dropped out there.
So there's going to be a page in your book where your mounts and your pets will be, and you can just click on one of those, and or you can drag them to your
So they're just going to be in your book rather than in your bags, which is a much better idea. It's stupid the amount of slots that all the non-combat pets and everything take up.
Right, and then there are times when you have to choose, do I take this pet with me or do I leave it in the bank? And sometimes I really... I've not deleted a mount, have you?
No, definitely not. They're all sitting, the ones I don't use, just sitting in the bank.
Right.
Completely useless, but it was like,
well,
I did
find one use for them.
Yeah.
Well, one time I was running one of my lower levels through Tanaris, and it occurred to me, in order to stop the whole cha-ching, you know, the thing where you're looping and stopping and looping and stopping, it's just... get out your old mount. So your level 70 can be on your level, well, I guess now 30. Oh, that's another thing, that if you look at your old...
Oh, I see. So you're riding slower.
Right. So you're not... You don't have to worry about losing follow or do that little galloping thing. Of course, it doesn't make that big a difference. But the advantage of having it in a spell book instead of having to physically have a slot is the world of difference. And there's some people out there who do macros where they can change their pets. And now they can do that without, well, they will be able to do it. Yeah. So that's really neat.
Pity they can't bring that out in a patch before the expansion, but.
Yeah. And they went in, after they did the Pooh quest, Aunt Rilly and Aprilian and Real Fire went into that mine. To get that guy, and I'm telling you, I'm loving triple boxing. It's really great, and although it was claustrophobic in there, you know, it works out really well being able to mow through these quests and these guys. So after Aprilian Ding 63, there was another piece of the Netherweave set that she got to wear, the gloves. It's kind of funny when you're doing that really quick leveling of a profession, such as cloth, you know, you get to a point where you're making stuff that you're not going to be able to wear for a while.
That's right.
But you can...
And you forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was kind of neat that she could start to wear it. But then then I noticed that her shoulders were level 47. Yeah. So I guess every once in a while you just need to glance over all of your... stuff, and it's more important to remind yourself when you're triple boxing and you're an altaholic, because I imagine if you're just mono.
I think the issue is less important because you've got triple firepower.
Right.
It's not so important that your gear's upgraded all the time.
Yeah, but a level 63 wearing a level 47 shoulders. I think they might have been blue, but still. So I got her a new pair on the auction house, and then I noticed that her old gloves had 8+ stamina, and I guess there's no enchants for shoulders until you get to get up there with the scryers of the outdoors, and I think they have some enchants. Yeah. So, but I wanted to, you know, I try to make sure that when I do change gear that I'm keeping the same enchants or reminding to get them. It's particularly more important with the boots, because I know you just use one pair of boots, but I keep Every time I change boots, I try to get two pairs.
Get more spurs. Get more spurs on them.
Right, get spurs and the minor speed thing for running. But the gloves, I was like, okay, she had 8+ stamina. And so I got out to Aunt Relia, and she looked through her stuff, and she couldn't find that +8 to stamina to gloves. And then she went to the trainer, and then she ran to the auction house. And I was running. Well, I had an alt go to the auction house, and then I had I went on the Alliance auction house. I could not find this plus stamina to gloves. And then I even did, you know, ThoughtBot and WowWiki. And then finally I realized it was a knot hide armor kit. Yes. And I felt stupid because I think it was in like Friday morning or something. And well, the way it works for me is before I go to work, you know, I'm at home so I can triple box. And then once I get to work and I'm on my break, I can only single box. So I was like feeling like I was wasting triple boxing time doing all that. So then Real Fire made the knot hide armor kit, and now she has it, and she's got the +8 to stamina.
Super.
Yes, and so the last thing I did was all of a sudden
I had
a great week. It was fantastic. I had fun in the world of Azeroth, and it was really good because work was nightmare. So it was really good to have all these good things happening in Azeroth. And then, of course, there was other things going on. So I was leveling Relak, who's my level 19 warrior. And I'm thinking, she's 19, and my priest, Aishak, is 19. They got a big boost, of course, because of the Midsummer Festival. I mean, everybody did. I mean, now my bank aunts are all level 5 and or 4, and they had been...
And got fancy shoulders.
And they got fancy shoulders, and I mean, Midsummer Festival was very, very good to me. That's a takeoff of a guy that played baseball. Never mind. Anyways, so...
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, yeah. So I decided all of a sudden to get her mining and blacksmith up. She's actually had become my neutral auction house alt because she was in Stranglethorn Vale. And the one that I had in Stranglethorn Vale, I think I ended up deleting her and using her for the zombie thing, using that slot for the zombie thing. So
you're a zombie.
Yeah. So I just happened to notice that there was a blacksmith trainer, I think, in Booty Bay. Yeah. And so I went over there, and there was a few things she could learn. She was at level 41, I think, in blacksmith and 25 in mining. And then I realized, you know, this whole thing with mining, you can now level just by smelting. So I took her over to Thunder Bluff, which is very easy to do from Booty Bay. Just, you know, hop on the boat and then fly from Ratchet. And this was the easiest leveling and crafting I've ever done. She went from 40-something, I mean, yeah, she must have been about 40-something in mining also, to 178 without ever hitting a node.
Yeah. They nerfed the mining because everybody complained that it was too hard to level, and they've gone too far.
Yeah, and the really bad thing is that now that everybody's doing that, the ore, or maybe it's a good thing, the ore is really expensive. I must have paid like 2 or 3 gold a silver. Maybe a gold and a half of silver, yeah, just to get it up past a certain point, because she made some good effort going through bronze and then got stuck at silver. But the really stupid thing was after silver, she learned steel, but the minute she learned it, it was gray.
Yeah, you don't get skill ups off of steel. All yours for smelting.
Yeah, well, just for steel.
There's others as well. I haven't actually leveled all the way to 375 since they nerfed it, but there didn't used to be. There'd be very few skill points you could actually get at the higher end from smelting.
Oh, so just the things that you actually smelt. Well, bronze gave me a whole bunch of skill points, so...
Yeah, I think they just boosted the lower level.
Yeah, so... But it was still...
Once you get up to, things like mithril and thorium, that you're not going to be able to get very many points from smelting.
So she'll have to go into the cave?
The Cave of Ore.
In Rathi Highland. Where is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alterac Mountains.
Yep.
Yeah. So that'll be fine, because that'll be a good place for her to level once she gets to that point.
Hey, one point on your ult that you have in Booty Bay.
Mm-hmm.
When you log out, do you just log out and wait for the 20 seconds, or do you run up around and into the inn?
Actually, I run up the ramp to the corner. You don't have to actually go.
I was going
to
say.
You don't actually have to go into the inn.
Yeah.
But
that was going to be my tip. All right, then. Fine. Okay, you know about it.
But I only do that on my Horde character. On my Alliance, I don't know. It's almost as if I'm trying to punish him.
Okay.
So I just leave him there. But, yeah. So it's just silly. You know, it's a psychological thing. They're both characters. They're both good in their own way. And I don't have to abuse them by leaving them sitting out. But, plus I kind of figured out that the time I spent running up the ramp and running back down, I probably, just the effort of having to move them around versus just doing the logging off.
The wait for 20 seconds bugs me, so.
But I can go do something else. So with leveling Relac and with mining and blacksmith, I had been hoarding iron and some copper and a bunch of stone on different alts because they weren't selling what I considered to be a good price on the auction house. And I just had a feeling that I would need it. Of course, I was...
You always do.
Yeah, and even though you think, okay, I'm way past that, you never know when you might want to bring up an alt. So it was great because, making grinding stones was a good way to level up blacksmithing from mm-hmm. coarse and then solid, I think. No, coarse. Yeah, rough, heavy. Coarse, heavy, solid. And... I had them all over the place, but using Arc Inventory, I was able to find out, oh, yeah, that silly alt that's standing in Undercity has, 90 solid stone. And, it was a breeze getting them over. And it was great. I felt like I was rich. And, I'm running around leveling the two, and she actually is at the point where the leveling was... around the same level as what she could wear. So that was kind of cool, I think this was my first time, she's my first warrior. So, so I never really had a blacksmith that could actually make my own. I have a blacksmith that's up at 38. That would be Vale. She's also my enchanter. But she's a rogue, and I'm a very bad rogue. So I don't envision ever leveling her past 50 to get, anything higher. She can make a lot of cool stuff, but she's not going to be able to make anything.
Rogues wear leather.
Yeah.
Blacksmiths make mail and plate, so.
Well, I never believe in that thing where you get for what you wear, because you're always going to sell for what, and she's been great she's been making stuff. Most of the stuff that she was making, I either was able to DE on her, mm-hmm. And then she was able to make stuff for my hunters.
Okay.
And she was making.
It's more the end game. So when you get to 375, a lot of the stuff that you make is bond on pickup.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, she's never going to get that far. So this is great that the warrior is going to be able to do this, and she's going to Vale's going to have a few things that's going to help her. That's going to be able to help Relac at some point. And, it's all about experience. I never did get her. She's never gotten to 40, So I couldn't do any of those specialization quests on blacksmithing. You know, the one where...
Yep. Don't I know.
Yep. So, anyways. And it was one other point. Oh, well, I was focused on the Outlanders. Is that the proper word for the people in Outland? Yeah. And, you know, and every once in a while I get that itchy feeling that I should be 70.
That's because you should be.
But then at the same time, I just...
You're getting there. You're getting there.
Right. But it's been fun. I wanna run some of my lower level characters through instances. You know, I want to...
Yep.
You know.
I've decided that I'm leveling a mage and a shaman, and I've decided that on one of those, probably the mage, I'm absolutely determined to go into Marauden several times and learn it and actually explore it.
Oh, Marauden,
yeah, however you want to say it. That'd have to be the, you know, the instance that I've been in least.
That's the one in Desolus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, me either.
So I actually got my first quest for in there on the mage.
Oh, well, why don't we head right into what you've been doing then?
Sure.
Because that about wraps up what I've been
doing. Nice segue.
Yeah.
Terrific. And further on segue, relation to instances, the first thing that I did this week was have a heroic night on a Sheo. A guild group got together and we went and did heroic ramparts and heroic botanica in one night.
Cool.
A few hours of heroics, so I got quite a few badges and some nice gear out of it. It was good. It was a lot of fun. We kind of tore through ramparts and it was like, oh, that was fun. That was pretty easy. Let's go and do another one. As ramparts was the heroic of the day, which means you get the quest reward. Apart from getting a badge off each of the bosses in there, you actually get two badges for completing the quest. So we got those.
Oh, great!
And then Botanica was the normal instance of the day, but we decided we'd be suckers for punishment, and we ran it in heroic mode as well. It's good. I mean, you know, we did two of them, so it took quite a while. But heroics are, I think, are really well tuned for level 70s that you know, are reasonably well geared and want to stretch. You actually have to try harder to get through instances than just belting through, you know, normal mode instances and you know, not getting any gear out of it and you know, just finding it too easy. It's nice to stretch yourself without having to, you know, find 10 people and go and do a raid. So that was fun. And we did that, as I mentioned earlier, we did the Razor Friend crawl attempt at running a bunch of our Lobby alts through there.
Did you have any problems with the tubers, or did you do the tubers?
Didn't get to do it because I always do that at the end, after the escort quest back to the start, and then I go and do the tubers. But we didn't ever get to the boss before the escort because the server just crapped out.
I just want to say that, you know, that is one of my favorite instances. It's full of mobs, and there's some really cool drops, and it's very convoluted. You know, there's a lot of twists and turns in there.
Yep. The only thing I don't like about it, and I'm sure it's not just me, is there seems to be lots of graphic glitches in it.
Oh, really?
Where if you're looking down at more than like 30 or 45 degrees, your whole screen just almost turns blue. It's like the graphics fades out or glitches or something, and it wasn't just me. You know, the others in the group were seeing it as well, and I see it every time. I see it every time I go in there, and you know, this has been on like, you know, three different computers with, you know, lots of different graphic cards, including the brand new one I got last week.
Oh, bummer.
But if you're looking straight ahead, you know, down low behind your character rather than looking down on top of them, it's kind of okay, but it's still annoying. But yeah, there's lots of mobs in it. We got that bat that spawned that was the rare elite. I think that was about we got so many blue drops off bosses and things, getting really good loot. It was like, this is going really well, and we get up to this to the rare spawn bat, and the server glitched out, and it's like, yeah, that'll be right. Blizzard's watching us and getting jealous that we're getting so many good drops in here. So, I think my mage is still in there, actually. Haven't gone back to – that's my second mage, the lower-level mage. She's still sitting in there, obviously, at the start of the instance now, all dejected that didn't get to finish it. Yeah, but it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
And I am leveling a shaman. My shaman's up to level 15, nearly 16, I think.
What's the name?
And a shaman.
Oh.
I spelled it slightly differently, but it's obviously starts with Ash, which is like shaman starts with sh as well. So I just stuck an A in front of it and spelled a couple of letters different in it, and there's my shaman. I'm very imaginative with my names. Pretty hard to find on the server. So because I hadn't leveled a shaman before, I decided I'd do what I'm doing with my mage, and I'm just dual boxing it with Jekyll. So Jekyll just follows around and does a bit of healing. And I'm enjoying the shaman. I'm figuring out that I'd never, you know, really, there's totems, shamans come along and whack down totems everywhere, but I never really understood, you know, what totems you could put down and what they all did. And yeah, and now I can see, well, yeah, you can put down one of each type of totem, and they do these different things. And
I know that the times that I've grouped with someone that had a shaman, I love that feeling you got when you walked or ran back over to where the totems were. You got that little...
Yeah. Lots of nice protections.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I'm enjoying that. I don't really know what spec I'm going to be yet, but I mean, I'm just a DPS spec at the moment. It doesn't really matter. I'm actually a couple of mates of mine, you know how I mentioned that I transferred my hunter to an oceanic realm a few weeks back. I was going to do some alliance stuff. Well, it was actually flipped around, and they've actually created tunes on Earthen Ring. So I'm going to level my shaman with them. So we've got a shaman, a hunter, a warlock, and a warrior.
Ooh! Speaking of flipping around, Glanth is back. I saw him yesterday.
Oh, really?
On the Alliance side, and he's going to bring over. He's going to start on Palinor. He's going to be on back on the Horde side on Earthen Ring. So that was exciting.
Excellent.
Yeah. His move is all over, and his new job is great. And
we'll settle back into it.
Yeah. Maybe excellent. We can get him back on. So that'd be nice too.
Where's our segment?
Yeah,
this is a segment by now, surely.
Maybe next week. Okay, so
maybe.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So, and the thing that I've spent most of my time on this week is leveling my Frost Mage, and I'm really enjoying that. So I'm leveling my Frost Mage with my Priest. Again, just Priest just wanders around, not in the party, and does some healing. The only thing about not being in the party with the Priest is you can't put on the power word shield.
Oh yeah.
You can only put a shield on someone that's actually in your party, and there was a couple of times I'd group up just so that I could put on the shield and go in and AOE and, you know, practice doing, you know, mage AOE type attacks just for the fun of it, and I'm really enjoying it. Killing everything myself as the mage rather than just tapping it with the mage and then killing it with the priest. I'm effectively single leveling through, but I'm just cheating a little bit with some off the side heals, or, you know, if I get myself into trouble and accidentally aggro too many mobs and I'm out of mana. I seem to be running out of mana a lot. I have to be learned to be a bit more mana efficient. But the priest can just step in and do it. shadow word death and clean up after my mess. And even if I die, yeah, the mage, the priest can res, so it's all good. It's a really I'm really enjoying that combination. And I've tore through all of Dustwallow Marsh. I was determined to do every quest in Dustwallow Marsh, and I really enjoyed all the Mudsprocket. I've done them before. I think I did it on the Pally and the Priest. But so did all those on my mage, and which is kind of handy because mages, and I don't remember this on other tunes. Maybe there was, and I just don't remember, or I didn't do it, or something. But mages seem to have more class quests.
Oh.
The I'm trying to remember what her name is. Is it Tabitha or something like that? In the hut,
right?
In Dustwallow Marsh.
Well, the warlocks have a couple of quests out there, but the mages right. have more.
Well, I just seem to be a lot of two or three or four mage quests, or maybe it was just because they were chains or something. I mean, obviously the warlocks do because they're the whole.
Because they're overpowered
for all their minions.
Yeah.
but I don't really remember leveling my warlock. But the mages, I was.
It was so long ago, huh?
It was so long ago. So you get a quest for going into Scarlet Monastery Library on the mage. You have to get a book out of the library, and I thought, that's good. There's another quest to get a book out of the library, and you know, into the Scarlet Monastery quest. So, being mid-30s is perfect time to go through Scarlet Monastery. So I just spat out in guild chat, anybody want to do Scarlet Monastery? And I just set it on my level 35 mage or whatever he was then. And one guy who's a warrior and said, I'll come along. And so I invited him, and no one else was interested, so I just got on my hunter, and he's like, oh, you're going to run us through hide's going to run us through. I said, yeah. So I'm running through, I just put the mage on follow, and hide's going through the library and killing everything, and the mage just loots his turn, and the warrior, I'd been doing a couple of kills on the mage, a couple of shadow bolts and whatever, but not really switching over to it and doing all that much. And the warrior spits out, sorry, go on.
This is Glacius?
Yeah, Glacius the mage. Yeah.
Who's level 35?
He was 35, he's 40 now.
Okay.
Yeah, I've put on 5 levels this week.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And the warrior spits out damage meters and goes, you need to crank up your damage, mage. So I say, I'm a hunter. Yeah, he's a bit of a slacker, isn't he? I let it go for a bit. And I don't know if you twigged or not. So I said, I'm actually both. And it's like, oh, cool.
sorry about that.
I didn't have the Into the Scarlet Monastery quest. I just thought I'd just go in and get my do my mage quest. And I thought, I know Armory's the Armory part of Scarlet Monastery's got the end boss in there drops good stuff for mail wearers. So I said, do you want to do Armory as well? He said, oh yeah, that'd be great. So I ran through the Armory as well, and he says, have you got the Into the Scarlet Monastery quest? I said, no, I haven't picked it up. And he shared it, and he picked it up, and oh, beauty, I could actually share it. So I go, while we're here, we might as well go and do Cathedral as well. And he's like, whoa! running through a Cathedral as well, and so he got the shield of the final boss in Cathedral. But he's only like level 32, so I think it's a level 39 shield. So he's got there's some good incentive for you to go and level your warrior. So he's going to put on 7 levels or something before he can actually use it. So he's pretty happy about that.
It's nice when you can do that.
Yeah. No, he had a 70 mage. So he said, "Oh, yeah, ever need anything? Let me know." It's like, okay. And I'm also determined on my mage to, and I know this is rather masochistic, to complete every quest in Stranglethorn Vale, even the ones that I don't think I've ever done because the drop rates on them are so low and crappy.
But you've got a mount now, so it's a piece of cake.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot easier. So
because I can imagine, because when you can go through areas on your mount that you can, you know, sometimes you can run through mobs on your mount. You can aggro, but if you keep going, they'll go, okay, yeah, all right, go, bye.
Yeah. especially as a mage, because with ice armor, it actually slows down mobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're on a mount and they hit you and slow down, then you're off into the distance. So it's a lot more of that.
And it must be even easier to get to Nessing, whatever his name is.
Yeah, up to Nessing Wearies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
So, I think I've just got the last raptor to kill the elite raptor. I think I've done everything else in that quest line. And there's those other quest lines where you've got to get the 25 troll necklaces and things the drop rate on those is really crappy. I'm enjoying it down there now with the mount. It makes it a hell of a lot easier.
You know, when go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say Dustwallow Marsh with Mud Sprocket and Brackenfall Village or something.
Right.
With those two flight paths and a mount, it's like Dustwallow Marsh just feels so small. It's so quick that's a great zone for a whole bunch of quests in a very small area in your late 30s, mid 30s.
When Real Fire was out that way, she was fishing up and down the coast. She really needs to get her fishing up. And she noticed that there was some quests out on that island out there, and I guess it's for that there's an instance, a Z instance in Stranglethorn Vale. Zula something.
Oh, yeah. Zul'Gurub. Z-G.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yes, there's a bunch of rep quests and they got some very nice rewards and things. Probably not so much when you're 70 anymore, but that was like, what you did. It's kind of like the ZA of pre-Burning Crusades. It's one of the things that you go and do when you get burnt out on all the other instances that were in the original game. They kind of added that.
So it's later on. It's ZF like with the trolls and stuff.
Yeah. It's an outside instance, which is really good for druids because they can use tangling roots and
totems.
Crowd control and. And you can mount up and ride around in it. So, I really like CG.
Maybe I'll get together.
If anybody wants to do a ZG historic raid run, I'd be more than happy to go into it on any of my characters. It's a fun instance. I know I actually saw on the forums some guildies actually did go in there last weekend because there's a fish boss. You fish him up, and I think that's where the Major's, is it turtle? I think that Major's polymorph you into a sheep. There's actually a drop off the fish boss in there that you can polymorph him into a turtle.
Oh.
So they're still even 70 mages are still keen to get in there and try and get that just for novelty factor.
Is that a 5 or 10 man?
It was 20, I think.
Oh, ooh, wow, that would be fun.
But with 70s, you're not going to need anywhere near that amount, but for sure. And that's really been my week. It doesn't. Not a lot of here and there on everything, but I did spend quite a bit of time on the mage and in leveling through, running through instances, and had to the other mage quest was so one was in Scarlet Monastery, the other one actually had to go to Alderman.
Oh.
In the Badlands.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, I'm not really a big fan of Alderman. I did it so many times.
I hate Alderman. I hate those little things with the long arms and the... I just don't...
The trogs.
Yeah, the trogs. And so you got to fight so hard to get into it and stuff. Okay. Sorry.
Right. Well, but there's a back door.
Right.
And I looked up this quest, and the mob I needed to kill was right inside the back door. So it's like, okay, I'll go and do that. Because the back door, you don't have to fight through all the mobs to actually get in there. There's about four mobs, and you're inside the back door.
Yeah, that's where you used to go for the enchanter.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, to get to the enchanter. So I ran in there and just completed my mage quest and ran back out again for beauty, done, I'm out of there. And so the other thing that Tabitha gives mages, just outside her hut, there's a couple of quests, and the first one she actually opened a portal and summoned a demon as a Felguard, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 37 then, and you've got – it's a timed quest, and my priest was still flying in. I hadn't got there yet. So she started the quest, and I thought, oh, I'll give it a try. And she summons this level 40 elite Felguard, and I'm like, okay. This could be a challenge. And so I thought, oh, I'll give it a try anyway. And I actually killed it. And I was really happy about that because, you know, I'd gotten soft, you know, not having to really push myself to be able to kill stuff. But, you know, I basically used everything that I had. I was using Frost Nova to freeze it in place and then blinking away to get distance between it and spinning around and doing frost bolts. And I got a couple of frost bolts off that actually, you know, froze it in place so I can get some more damage off, and use my cold snap, which, you know, finishes all the cooldown, so you can do another frost nova and cone of coal to slow it down and blink away again. I think I had to use a health pot, and I had to use my mage's summon, like warlocks create souls, health stones.
Okay.
Mages create mana jades, you know, or mana stones.
Mm-hmm.
You can carry one of those, and that restores. The one I had at the time was like restored a couple of hundred mana. So I was running out of mana, so I used my mana jade as well and actually got it down. I soloed it, and the priest rocked up about 30 seconds later.
How cool is that?
So I was really happy about that. It's like, okay, I think I'm learning to play my priest better than what I think I am.
Your mage, yeah.
My mage, yes. Yeah.
Excellent. You know what I wanted to...
Yeah, there's no way I could have done that if I had kept going with the trying to level two mages and swap between them and use illusion spells.
Yeah.
I just wasn't really enjoying it and learning a mage. I mean, I've even leveled a mage before. It's not like I've never done this before, but yeah, it's a while ago. So yeah, a challenge is good.
Yes. It's a learning experience. Oh, wait, that was last week.
That was last week.
You know what I'm thinking of doing, and I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, but I just realized that both my priest and my warrior were 19. Should I take them to BG?
I think you should.
Yeah. Maybe I'll take them individually, run them around, and then maybe once try dual boxing them. But
yeah.
But while they're 19, I feel kind of well, not stupid, but I wish I had taken Aprilian into Battlegrounds. I remember I was going to do it at 59, but then I wanted her. Then I got her amount at 60. I wanted to get her amount at 60.
Yeah.
But isn't what are the
dilemmas? Dilemmas.
Yeah, and at 60.
Actually, yeah, it's the same one, isn't it? Because it's 51 to 60, and yeah, so you could have done it at 60.
I could have done it at 61 60, and I didn't realize it. I thought it was, so now it's 61 to 70, so if I had gone ahead and done it at 60, even after getting the mount, that would have been cool. But, you know, now I know. So, I guess that's what we've been doing. And we have some letters.
We got mail. We have mail.
Yeah. So, you want to start with the first one?
I'll do the first one. Okay. Where are we? Ah, here we are. Hey, guys. I love the show. I just happened on it, and I'm in the process of getting caught up on some of the podcasts. My question is, do you have one or two episodes that explain how to multibox? I have two accounts and always wanted to give it a try, but wasn't quite sure where to start. What type of system requirements do you recommend? How do you control both characters using only one monitor and one keyboard mouse? Any recommended mods or macros? What type of classes work well together? How do you select quests on both characters? Sorry for the assault of questions, but it sounds like you guys are the multi-box masters, and I want to glean anything I can. Thanks again, Keel Hall.
Well, that's a really good question.
Multi-box masters. Oh, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Yeah, I think we're multi-box amateurs. But I think we enjoy it more than the people that get into it and do the five characters, and I don't know. I think we get more out of it, don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So... Yep. As far as finding out which episodes that we've particularly gone on about what we do, you can always check the show notes at controlaltwow.com. I think we do a pretty thorough job of kind of pinpointing what we do in each episode. So if you want to find out something specific, you can do a search through the website, you know, through the show notes, and find out that what episode has specific dual boxing things. I can give you a quick rundown as far as how do you control both characters. I use a KVM switch.
But you've got multiple machines.
Yes.
So it sounds like he's only got one system. So he asks, how do you control them both using one monitor and one keyboard?
Yeah. So that would, there's, you know, the key clone thing that you've tried.
Well, if it's so there's two ways that you can multi-box. There's the having two characters that may be the same or different classes and effectively swapping between them quickly and driving them both independently. Or there's using third-party software such as KeyClone to actually send the keystrokes to both characters at once. And Aprilian and I both use the first method. We drive each character independently. And you basically do that. If you've only got one monitor, then basically you need to run WoW in windowed mode and have the windows overlap. You could make them small enough so they don't overlap, but I think that'd probably make it too small. And just Alt-Tab between the two windows or mouse click on the one that's in the foreground. In terms of system requirements for running WoW twice on the one box, WoW's using, let me have a quick look. So I'm running two copies of WoW at the moment, and they're both using about 550 meg. So you want, a system should have 500 meg for the OS and another guff that you're running. So you want a gig there for WoW. So you want at least a gig and a half of RAM. I would recommend 2 gig as a minimum for any system. And you obviously want, I guess if you're only running one monitor, your video card, the video card that you would use just to drive one, it doesn't really matter.
Right. That's about it. On Mac, I do the same thing. I have like 2 gigs, but I use a separate monitor. If you can get a separate monitor, that really makes a big difference.
Two monitors makes a big difference, yep.
Yeah. So.
Although, as we've said in the last couple of weeks, two-box toolkit is a great mod for minimizing the need to swap to the second screen.
Yeah.
You know, character classes that work well together? I don't think I'd ever recommend anybody not to try out a paladin and a priest. Love it.
Well, paladins are kind of tricky. Maybe the first time out you might want to do a hunter and something.
Yep.
Yeah, just for your first time.
I should correct myself. My official answer for what kind of classes work well together, if this is the first time you're multi-boxing, pick two classes that you've played before.
Yeah. Because you don't want to be learning a class while you're learning how to...
While you're learning multi-boxing, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, and then once you got that down, then go for the power pair, priest and pally. Yep. the four pee-pee. P's. Yes. So, the next one. And thanks for your email, Kiha.
Yeah. I'll do the next one, so you can do the third one.
Okay, great.
I just looked at it. Oh, my God. All righty. Hey, Aprilian and Asheo. It's Tria again. Hey, Tria.
Hey, Tria.
Sorry I missed last week. Got busy with raiding and such.
That's okay.
So this week I decided to bring you two add-ons. Yeah, we forgive you. The first is a modification to your cast bar. It's called Quartz. The advantage of using Quartz is that it takes into account latency for when you are chain casting spells, allowing for maximum DPS for casters. And he includes a link to the download. It's on wowinterface.com. The second add-on I decided to feature this week is a chat add-on which Aprilian comments on two episodes ago. It's called Pratt and allows you to customize your chat windows even more. It removes the scroll arrows on your chat panel and allows you to scroll through chat by simply mousing over the box and using your mouse scroll wheel. Oh, that's cool. And he's included a link to that one as well. Hope you guys enjoy these add-ons. I'll be sure to have another one next week.
Thanks, cool. Tria.
Thanks, Tria. I do use Quartz on, specifically on my Warlock because, the latency issue for me is big. It makes a huge difference. In raiding and maximizing DPS. I know for you privileged people that have relatively low latencies between you and where Blizzard hosts these servers, what's your latency at the moment if you hover over your latency bar?
68 on Realfire, 70 right. On Primo.
Oh, the pain, 70. And I've only got two logins at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. So mine at the moment are in the yellow, which is actually pretty good. More than often I get into the red. Oh, I've got 579 and 494.
Oh, my.
So that basically means that for 500 milliseconds that I've cast a spell and waiting for the server to come back and go, okay, you've completed casting that spell, that – yeah, you know, I can't do anything else. So that doesn't sound a lot, but it's a hell of a lot when you're just casting, you know, a shadow bolt over and over. For example, when you've dotted stuff up on a macro on a warlock and you're starting to spam shadow bolt, that's a lot of downtime waiting for it to actually complete. When you know, there's 500 milliseconds at the end there where you could actually be casting again. So what Quartz actually does is it brings up a bar that shows you the spell as you cast it, and towards the end of that bar is a red section, and the size of that red section is bigger the more your latency is. And so what all it's actually doing is showing your latency. It doesn't automate anything for you, but basically what you do is you get into the rhythm of, as soon as the progress of your spell hits that red area, you can stop casting, do a slash stop cast to the server and cast another shadow bolt.
Oh.
So my shadow bolt slot on my in my action bars isn't just a shadow bolt spell. It's actually a macro. And the macro is I should probably put it in the post in the show notes. I haven't got it open at the moment. It must be in a show of specific macros. But it's basically stop cast shadow bolt. Right. So in that last 500 milliseconds, I can actually, if I just tried the shadow bolt again, it'd say, no, you can't, because you're still in the middle, you're still doing a shadow bolt. And it'll say that spell's not ready yet.
Right.
Whereas if you do a stop cast, the client immediately says, oh, okay, you're not doing that anymore, and then I can start a shadow bolt. But as far as the server is concerned, the shadow bolt's already gone off. It's that 500 milliseconds where the server said, yeah, the shadow bolt's gone off, but it's going to take 500 milliseconds to tell the client that.
Right. Yeah.
For the feedback. So the spell actually goes off, and you get to start casting another one a lot faster. So they actually supposedly made changes a couple of patch levels back to improve that, but I didn't find any improvement at all. So I'm still finding a lot of benefit in using Quartz. And I haven't used Pratt, but I probably will look at that, because I do for my chat. Basically, the only thing I really do is create another window just for whispers. So if I'm AFK or something and I miss a whisper, it's there in its own window rather than having to scroll up through several thousand lines of guild chat.
I've seen a couple of interfaces where the bottom part of the screen is like black. And that's mm-hmm. where the chat is. And I'm almost thinking about doing that, because and also maybe where the tracker for the quests.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's, you have so many overlays on your screen that it can be a little bit distracting.
Right.
Yeah. But then again, that does take up real estate, so I guess it's a trade-off.
Yep. Yeah, you just have to go and get yourself a 28-inch monitor.
I have a 27-inch and a 20-inch. Two 20-inches and a 27-inch. I need a 50-inch monitor. Yeah,
that's
it.
No.
You know what? If I can get three 50-inch monitors, put one in front and one on either side of me, it'll be just like I'm inside of Azeroth.
And you'll also have a rather large Cairo bill from your neck as you turn around trying to look at everything.
Yeah, and it'll probably be hot, too. You can imagine that we put off a lot of heat. All right, so we have... Oh, we have the...
The contest.
Oh, no, wait, we have a comment. Oh, yeah, I'll read the next one, and then you can read the one after.
I'm reading the comment. Welcome from the Sacred Podcast. Awesome podcast. Awesome episode. Great idea for running undead into Stormwind. Now we must return the favor and run out level Night Elf alts to Orgrimmar.
That would be funny to see a bunch of...
I'd love to see a whole bunch of level 1 and 2 Night Elves in Orgrimmar.
Yes.
I think it's probably... more challenging for Night Elves to get to Orgrimmar than it is for us to get to Stormwind.
I know. So,
that'll be fun.
Yeah. Let us know when you're going to do it. Let us know when you do it and how it turns out. Oh, and screenshots, or it didn't happen. So that was a comment on our website, and I guess this is a Sacred Podcast, although I couldn't find it, so if you're listening... If you could send us a link to your podcast, we would love to, pimp it for you.
Always looking for more podcasts to listen to.
Yeah, I never get enough. I've had to cut back on my tech podcast because Leo Laporte is starting to annoy me. So I can't listen to Mac Break Weekly anymore. And I don't know. Did you ever listen to that? No.
No, not the Mac ones.
Well, the Twits.
Yeah, I used to listen to Twit, but not for the last few months. About the only one I listen to every week is Security Now, and probably every second week Windows Weekly.
So we have a contest going where we're trying to give away an authenticator to someone with the most interesting alt story. We already had several, and now we have another one. I think we have two this week, right? No, we have another one. And then I guess throughout this week, we'll figure out who to award it to. And because authenticators are a really great idea and a way to protect your account.
So we're not going to announce the winner this week?
No, because, well, no. We need to read these and then talk about it, don't you think?
I thought we were going to do a slash random.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll do it then. We'll do it this week.
Yeah. Poor okay. people are waiting for their authenticator, and you're going to make them wait another week?
While I read, you go ahead and pick
all right.
the one.
I'll compile a random list and do a slash random and pick number.
Roger.
You read.
I'm sorry. I work for the railroad. We say Roger.
If we have clearance, Clarence.
Okay. Hey, guys. Blade here. I stumbled across your podcast after doing a Warcraft search in the iTunes store, and I find Caw, which I love to call it, Control-Alt-Wow, Caw, to be a refreshing change. You actually sound like you enjoy the game, but don't come across as exceptionally techno-obsessed. The extra sound effects some podcasts have can get rather annoying and distracting. Nor do you come across as elite experts in all things WoW. You sound like your enjoyment of the game stems not from T4, 5, or Arena Season 4 and in-game content, but rather from the experience of getting there and growing as individuals along the way. Oh, cool. In truth, I came to be searching the iTunes store after being led there by a website dedicated to tanking, as one of my alts, my warrior, has recently respec'd protection, which leads me to my alts, your contests, and my unique and crazy situations. Like most players in WoW, I have alts. I consider not one, but two characters my mains. Allow me to explain. Blade Tusk, 70 Orc Rogue, could be considered my main, as Blade is the moniker that I am known by within my guild. My main alt would then be the aforementioned respect 70 protection warrior Blade Skull. Rounding the list is my 70 mage Grey Malkin, 65 hunter Wolf Tusk, and numerous baby alts, including a baby shaman and baby druid, who are acting as my bank and auction house alts, respectively. And there was one other who I will mention in a moment. Now, I don't have many alts, not even as many as Ashayo, admittedly, but I have been playing them for a while. And because I do not at present dual box, I leveled each one of them one by one to the level they sit at now. That's a good accomplishment. For reference, ZG, AQ20, and AQ40, and Nox Ramos were but a twinkle in the developers' collective eyes when I started playing, and even MC, BWL, and Onyxia were fresh enough content. I recently, masochistically, did a slash played on Blade Tusk. You're a brave man. I've never been brave enough to do that. And the number, approximately 37 or 38 days, if memory serves correctly, doesn't seem like a lot. But if you figure 1 or 2 hours per night, 365 nights per year, and 24 hours in a given day, then old Blade's been around quite a long time. During all of this time, I have had plenty of opportunity to test and play just about every conceivable race, class, talent combination I can think of, and plenty of opportunity to realize what I prefer as a player for the horde. Good man. A good horde. Which leads me finally to my last alt and my own personal craziness. I'm loving this.
It gets better.
Yes. Both my rogue and my hunter are my gatherers, and between them, they gather every conceivable farmable mat, cloth, ore, fish, herbs, skins, and motes from the clouds and outland. I particularly enjoy the hunter as an easy class to play. Well, yeah. Oftentimes, while I am farming, he's parked in either Zanger Marsh or Terrakar Forest at any given time, and I farm bog lords and trees for herbs, breaking up the monotony of the grind to grab skinnable beasts or spiders for their netherweb silk. Don't get me wrong, to play a hunter well requires a certain amount of skill. The same can be said for any class, but I find I can turn off my brain when I play him. A nice, relaxing time, free from threat of dying. With his tanking pet, I only get concerned and use a heal pot when he's when he gets more than two or three mobs on him at the same time. Otherwise, it's a relatively effortless grind on my part. I could make a great deal of effort, and someday still may, and learn the class exceptionally well and become an exceptional hunter. But at this point in time, I prefer to save my focus for the rogue and the warrior and my other hunter, Tarzan. T-A-H-R-Z-A-A-N.
I like the way they spelled it, very clearly.
Yes, I love that. I decided I wanted to test my skill as a player and stretch my knowledge of the hunter class tricks at my disposal, but not in the traditional way. So I rolled a blood elf hunter, called him Tarzan, and stripped him naked. No clothes, not even a weapon more powerful than the weenie starting dagger, the 0.9 DPS one. Interesting? Crazy? Your first thought might be, so what? With a pet tanking and the hunter at range, there's little danger of dying anyway, so what's the big deal? Wait for it. His ranged weapon is a throwing knife, hence the Tarzan. Yeah, a hunter with no ranged skills to rely upon. Dagger crit for 25 damage for the win. And when he levels to 20, I got a huge boost in his melee skin with the addition of his skinning knife as an offhand. And that's how he stayed up to the present day in level 31 and counting. Right now, he's been doing Tauren Kindergarten quest to gain enough rep for his Kodo mount. As Horde can't ride elephants, Kodo are the closest thing. Tamed him a cat from the Bloodhell Elf newbie area named Numa. And ran him all the way to Darkshore and managed to tame one of the spectral cats from the cat figurine items, the one near the Nagas, the one that Guy mentioned last week.
Yep.
And this one's named Saber. All names derived from the books by Edgar Rice Burroughs. I log into this tune when I tire of the humdrum of leveling, grinding, or doing daily quests, or farming on my litany of alts. And I must say, this is an eye-opening experience. Mana is all important, traps become almost a necessity, and AoE attacks are far more dangerous now than they would normally be. Heck, more than one attacking mob can now mean death if I'm not careful. I have been called a noob, been told to put on clothes, and learn to play LRN number 2 PLAY more times than I can count. But some people are nicer about their curiosity. They simply wonder why. So I tell them, anyone can play a hunter. It takes a skill to play a hunter well. I plan to play this hunter with his handicap, both to challenge myself and prove that it can be done. So in closing, as this becomes much longer than I anticipated, it'd be great if I were selected in your weird and crazy alt contest. But even if it is not, it would be great to be mentioned in your email segment so that your listeners might be encouraged to think a little more outside the box. Examples: Gut Rot, the level 70 naked troll, a pacifist priest that refuses to kill for XP. A survival hunter like mine, but with armor and decent weapon. A warlock with no pets. Adventuring in the beginning pre-BC zone, but staying only on one continent. Oh, those are great ideas. Yeah. Cheers for your awesome podcast, Blade. I want to just say... Bravo, Blade. Bravo. That is excellent. Tarzan sounds... I'm even wondering, are you on a role-playing server? Because that's role-playing.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That is awesome.
I would never have thought to do that.
Yes. You'll have to send a screenshot. I want to see Tarzan in his glory.
Well, even if it doesn't win, I give that the craziest and weirdest thing to do with an alt.
Yes. So did you come up with a winner?
I've listed them, and I'm about to do a slash roll.
Okay.
And the
drum
winner
roll,
is, drum roll, the winner is Blade.
Excellent. All right, Blade. Thank you for that awesome story. Congratulations. And if you would... send me an address. I'll have that authenticator in the mail. ASAP.
Awesome.
And that brings us to the end of another Control Alt Wow. Thanks, everybody, for the email. We look forward to more. Control-Alt-Wow@gmail.com. Our website is control-alt-wow.com. We're on iTunes, so you can go there. You can give us a review. We have 15. We'd love more. And you can also dig us on dig.com/podcast. Anything else you want to say, Ashayo?
For the Horde?
Yes, and this is Aprillion. For the Horde. Real.
May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al-Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.